We just sung in Psalm 20, it states, again in verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I did some study this week. I was trying to decide what I wanted to preach on for my last Sunday preaching here, although I will be here next week as well. I was looking up chariots. Because I was looking at this passage and thinking, this is where our lives are a lot of times. And we find ourselves, and they're mentioned many times in Scripture over many centuries. When I looked up the word in one of my Bible programs, it's just line upon line of them. And I thought, this is one of the most powerful vehicles that it was used in war. You know, we see the tanks and the helicopters now. Chariots were it. They were one of the big things that people had. And people made lots of proclamations. It states in Psalm 68, though, no matter how great a nation's supply of chariots might be, those of the Lord are much greater. It says in 68:17, the chariots of the Lord are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. And I thought about this because when you read most of them, you read there are 10,000 or 2,000. But thousands upon thousands. Again, and this was terminology that was used to show the might of God Almighty. And we see some beautiful pictures of that in Scripture. But I'm not going to go into that. And I know that some of you might be thinking by now that I'm going to preach about chariots this morning. Well, I'm not. I had actually thought about it and was going in that direction, but I'm going to be preaching more on a Christ-centered theme. And the ideas that I really want you to be able to get here today is that of having our trust firmly rooted in Jesus. And not only in the things of this world. We do trust in the things of this world, but we need to be able to switch it over and say, well, who's really in charge? Christ is in charge. There are a number of passages that speak about this. I'm going to turn to a couple of them here. Psalm 37. I didn't write these all out, so I'm going to be flipping around. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. I just want you to listen to what it has to say here. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. Also, I believe it is in Psalm 40, again, verses 3 through 4. He put a new song in my mouth, a psalm of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor those who lapse in falsehood. Now, I have a number of others here. I'm not going to read them all. I'll just say them to you so you can write them down if you want. Psalm 52:8, Psalm 146:3, Psalm 4, verse 5, Proverbs 3, verse 5. I was going to read Isaiah 12. I believe it's 12 that I have here. Verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. And He has become my salvation. Salvation. I want us to be reminded of not that we need to trust in God so much as He is trustworthy. Our God makes promises, and He makes many promises to those who are among His elect. And He makes promises of those who are the wicked and the reprobate as well. The elect get beautiful promises. The rest not so much so. But I was thinking during this time, we are living in a time right now where I don't know if any of you watch news. I do on a regular basis because I like to know what's going on, although it's hard to differentiate, but pretty much everybody's saying the same thing. It's a really scary time right now. It hasn't been this scary as far as war goes for quite some time. And if we go this way, one thing might happen and that won't be good. And if we go this way, another thing might happen and that won't be good. And if we go this way, it's going to be really bad. And I know we're Christians and I know we trust God, but these things weigh heavy on us. Because most of you have children and grandchildren, you're going, don't want to see another war. How many of you are sick of war? I'm sick to death of war. And yet we're going to have these with us. We've dealt with a lot in the last few years. We've had the pandemic. We've had the stock market going crazy. We've had craziness and riots in our own nation, which we haven't seen for many decades, and of a great magnitude. And people are so divided. I've never seen people in this nation quite as divided. And sometimes when we get this way, one of our first tendencies are, and I know mine is, well, how can I fix this? And if any of you are on Facebook and you read some of my posts, you will think, well, he doesn't trust God. Well, I do trust God. I'm just not always happy with the way people who are running things do it. But I do trust God. And I find myself oftentimes, and I think we all need to, when we get off into weird tangents, to find ourselves being able to say, wait a minute. Do I really trust these people anyway? Or do I really trust these people? And then I kind of go, not a whole lot, but who do I trust? And who has promised me that He will be faithful? And who has taught me through His Word and through the doctrine we've learned that God is providential? Nothing's happening outside of His providence. God knows what's taking place. He knew this was going to take place 10,000 years ago. He knows how it's going to end too. That doesn't mean we should just go, oh, well, God's in control. But what it does mean is we should indeed have a great trust in God in these times. Let me go back to our first reading here. I'm going to read from the beginning of the chapter there, verse 24 in Matthew. Jesus came out of the temple and was going away when His disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to Him. And He said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. Now it doesn't say a whole bunch about it there. But again, He's making a point to them, and the things that they heard from Him, they had to learn to trust, even though they didn't understand them fully. And we too need to learn to do the same thing. Because then it gets into this other part where it says, and as He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and to the end of the age? Now I love here that Jesus didn't give them a quick one line or a couple sentences, but he makes clear a number of things. And by the way, many of these things have been taking place since that time. And he answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. This is important. This is always important when we'll touch on that just a little bit further down when he talks about the false prophets. See to it that no one misleads you. And if you remember the New Testament, and especially the writings of Paul, you see that there was a lot of misleading going on, both from outside the church, from the Jewish community, as well as inside the church. And then he says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And I don't know if any of you have done much study into this, but there were a lot of people during the time of Christ, and right before and surely right after, who were making proclamations about being Christ. Either just being Christ, the ones who came before, and those who came after, they were saying he was Christ come back. Christ warns us about these people. And he says this, they will say, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Didn't say they'll mislead a few, but many. So, and they're talking about people in the church. People in the church. Now, I'm not saying those who are saved. If you're truly saved, you're truly saved. That's the way it is. But there are many people in the church who aren't. And many were misled. And in the early church, if you left the church, for whatever reason, they didn't let you come back in. If you denied Christ, you could never come back in. Great debate on whether that should still be the case today. I'm not going to say what I think on that right now. You will be hearing of the wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened. See to it that you are not frightened. I was thinking about this with the idea of, remember what I said about Joshua a couple weeks ago, just looking at doing a little exposition in that first chapter. Be strong and very courageous. Basically what he's telling them, don't be afraid. It looks bad for you. It looks bad for you, but don't be afraid. And I think sometimes we live in fear. We don't act like it. And we often don't make that big of a deal out of it. And thankfully, I mean, when I say live in it, we don't live in it always. But there's things going on and we're always being put to the test. Do you trust the Lord today? He says, see to it you are not frightened, for those things must take place. These things must take place. And the things that are taking place now must take place. So what should our recourse be? Well, clearly it's not to be frightened. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. These things are still happening today. There's famine in many parts of the world that most Americans aren't even clued to. You know, they're like, really? I didn't know that. I thought everybody had food. Well, a lot of places don't have very much at all. But this must take place. There has to be wars and rumors of wars, nations rising up against nations. And this is what we've seen in the last 10 days. But by the way, while this is taking place and is taking front row in the news, there have been other nations that have been at war with other nations for long periods now. There's wars going on all over the world. It's just when wars affect us a little more, and even, I mean, you'll hear great debate even in the Christian circles today. Should we go help out? Should we stay here and mind our own business? What's going to happen with the cost of fuel? Well, we all know what's happening with that. It's going up. It's going to go up some more. Most of us will live through it. We don't need to be that concerned about it. That's why we have leaders. But these things are going on. They are taking place. And then he says, but all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. Now here's where it gets tricky. Because this has been given to the church. He says, at that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. And it, again, throughout the history of the church, and especially we've seen a lot of that during the time of the Middle Ages. That there's this time where you must really be able to cling. You must be able, we must be able to trust God. Many false prophets will arise and will lead many. Well, all you have to do is read a bunch of Christian books. Turn on a Christian radio station. Watch Christian television. And you will hear all kinds of false prophets. And you know what? There are misleading many. They are abusing, as I spoke of last week, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are taking it lightly. They are not speaking of the truth of salvation as Christ has ordained it, but as men desire it to be. We need to be praying during this time. And then he says this, because lawlessness is increased, and by the way, how about lawlessness? We live in a nation right now that used to be kind of law-abiding, sort of, for most people. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. And praying, I'm praying that it turns around. And I'm hoping that it might. But I don't know what God has in store for America. But I do know what He has in store for us. He has good things in store for us. Now that's kind of weird when you say that. Well, we might end up in a war. We might end up under tyranny. We may end up all kind of different ways. How's He doing good things for us? Well, first off, He's working out your sanctification in some sense or another. Secondly, He's giving you many opportunities to share Christ, because it seems the more the church gets burdened, the more willing we are to open our mouth about the truth of Christ Jesus and share it with others. And most people's love will grow cold, he says. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Now again, I want to be very clear here. It's not saying that only he who endures to the end will be saved. In the sense that some think it. Basically, it's works. It's a works religion. I have to endure to the end. But basically, the truth is, the way this reads is he will be saved. He who is saved will endure to the end. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, we do know this, and all of us have grown up with it, that the gospel has been preached in almost every part of the world, probably every part. The Bible has not yet been written in every language, but the gospel has gone out. So we know this. Christ can come at any time. And only the fool will put a date on that, but we can say clearly that Christ can come at any time. So we need to be people who are working out our faith. And when I'm using a term, working out our faith, here differently than I usually do, or working out our trust in Christ. That means like when we work out, we work out with weights or something, and it starts out at one place, and as it goes on and it has its desired effect, you will get stronger and stronger. And that's what we want to do, work out our trust in God, work out our faith in the reality, so that we, because it is through faith that we are able to trust God and through faith only. I want to turn to another passage that we're going to be looking at. And I won't be overly long today, I can assure you. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading from verse 3. Oh, actually, no, I'm going to start at 1. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, we have no need of anything to be written for you. For you yourselves know full well the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Well, for those of you who are women who have had children, you know what the labor pains are like. And do they come on suddenly? Labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Well, for those of you who are women who have had children, you know what the labor pains are like. And do they come on suddenly? From what I've heard and what I've seen, they surely do. And there's, you're kind of getting ready for it, but you can't be ready for it. You just know they're coming. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. We are not in darkness. We have the light of Scripture. We have the light of Christ in us. That the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. This is the calling of God for the Christian. We are to live our lives alert and sober-minded. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Taking us there to Galatians. For God has not destined us to wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. So that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Then there's the command here. It's a sweet command. Therefore, encourage one another. Therefore, encourage one another. And build up one another, just as you are also doing. What an encouraging word that is for us to read, even. Times are going to get difficult. They're going to get hard. Bad things are going to take place. Bad things are already taking place. But build one another up, knowing that these things must take place before the coming of our Lord. We keep praying for, Lord, come quickly. This is the prayer of our hearts. Lord, come quickly. Or it should be the prayer of our hearts. Well, for him to come quickly, some things have to take place first. We're kind of like, well, can't you come quick without all this? Because we don't like to be uncomfortable. Nobody likes to see misery in their life. Nobody wants to see their children die. Nobody wants to see a nation or nations that are godless in all that they do. We just want the Lord to come quickly. Well, he has told us we must endure. And enduring usually means there's something you've got to do. And this is the putting our trust in God through these things. Because, and again, if we are truly people of prayer, and I don't mean Wednesday night prayer. Wednesday night prayer is fine. It's lovely to get together with the saints. But people of prayer who are praying in your families, who are praying in your private time, who are praying throughout the day, even when you might see something or hear something and say, just take a few minutes to yourself and pray to God. Ask God, God, help me to trust you in this. Help me to be one who is able to know how to be used in this situation, in that situation. Because there's all kinds of them that face us all the time. But he goes on here, and I'm going to touch this. I was thinking again about people of faith, and I brought up Joshua already to you. But I was also thinking about Daniel and his friends, where I started out when I first came out here. And that great faith that they demonstrated, a faith that was so wonderful to hear about that it's in the Word of God. That he had that kind of faith. And I asked then, and I'll ask again, wouldn't you like to be like Daniel? Wouldn't you like to have that type of trust in God? That even though he had to serve a wicked king, he served that wicked king well. And he served God first. We find that this all sorts of believers in the Old and New Testament whose faith we read about. We read about them, especially I like the New Testament believers, and I especially like to think about, well, Peter's faith was kind of weird sometimes, but ultimately he had great faith. Paul endured more than most anybody that I've read about biblically, and yet he had great faith. Because his trust wasn't in this world. His trust wasn't even in himself. His trust was in the promises of God, that God would keep him, that God would use him, that God would deliver him, and that God would bring people to himself through Paul. I encourage you to go back and look at the early years of Paul, the ministry, and to see how God used him in these ways. But we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. That's not the part I really want. I'm just kind of reading straight down here. But this part, live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. That last one, I think, is the hard one for many of us, that let's be patient with everyone. Some people are really good at that. Some people not as well. And when you're not good at it, then you need to pray, Lord, help me to be patient. And you have to practice being patient. Being patient, you're going to wake up one day or you'll be driving down the road and whoops, now you're patient. You have to work at it. Many of the things that Christ has told us to do are not things that are even people that say, Lord, take this sin from me. Meanwhile, God says, stop doing that. So sometimes we're weirdly, unbiblically dependent upon God or trying to be saying, well, God will take it from me when he's ready. No, God's already told you to stop it. So keep the things in good order how they're to be done. See that no one repays evil with... Let me read that again. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. That's interesting. I'm a person by nature who's more inclined, and this is from my past, to lash out. Thankfully, God has given me a good and faithful wife who uses that passage oftentimes. And she'll say stuff like, so do you think God wants you to repay evil with evil? I mean, what do you say to that? You say no, because you know better. You've heard it. You know what God says. But sometimes that old man just wants to come out and say, I need to take care of this. Well, no, you don't. God will take care of it. And he does it so much better. And he brings about better results than we do. And when we listen to him, again, we are working out that which he has allowed us to in our life. So we are getting stronger. So we become more aware. And so even when the bad times come, because we are in bad times, how many of you still have great hope in Christ? And I'm hoping all of you are shaking your heads. I'm looking at a couple of people and seeing heads go. But we should all be saying, yes, my hope and my trust is in Christ and in him alone. Not in this world, not in the worldly leaders, not myself. I always cringe when I think, what if everybody could know what I was thinking for one day? Whew. Scary thought. But the reality is God does. And in spite of me, he still loves me because of the work of Christ in our life. Christ came to die for sinners. He came, and I spoke about the law and how we love the law and how we need the law. And how the law, although it can't save, is good. The law was absolutely necessary so that Christ might fulfill it. So that he might go to the cross. And that he might bear the punishment for so many. What a joy we have in knowing this. That his coming back, his rising from the dead, was the fulfillment of prophecy. And because he is risen from the dead, we too rise from the dead. What were we before we became Christians? We were dead. That's what the Bible teaches. Dead in our sin and trespasses. But with the presence and the promises of Christ, we have eternal life. I don't know why sometimes we keep it such a secret. But we should be louder. We should be louder. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Well, that's a Philippians passage there. In everything, give God thanks. Now, this is hard to do. When things go really bad, when they go really sour, to be able to turn to God and say, I trust you this much, God, that I can thank you for this. Not knowing the outcome, but being able to thank him for it. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Examine everything carefully. In Scripture most especially. Abstain from every form of evil. What's that saying to you? Saying, if you know it's evil, don't do it. It really is that simple. If you know it's evil, don't do it. Abstain from it. Now he gives at the end of this in verse 23 and down a beautiful blessing. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. We need to be reminded of so much, and this is one of the joys why I've often said, when I first became a Christian, I thought it was, I liked coming to worship, but I thought every week. And it's perfect. God picked the perfect 1 in 7 days. We need to be reminded that much of the things that we already know, that we've already learned. We need to be encouraged. We need to come together, not so that I can encourage you, so much as you might encourage one another. As you talk and you speak to one another after the service and before the service and see what God's doing, and not all of it's happy stuff, but we watch each other. We watch each other as we go through hard times, as we go through tribulations and suffering. And we see each other's strength. And we have the opportunity, the joy of praying for one another. It's one of the joys of talking with other Christians. You say, how are you doing? What's going on? What's God doing in your life? And if you're a wise person, when you're done talking to them, and I do this often, I don't do it always, you'll say, let's pray. Let's pray. Most of us should be praying a whole bunch more than we usually do through the week. We pray a whole bunch on Sunday morning when we come together. We pray when you had evening service, you pray a lot. And midweek prayer is midweek prayer. But what about that rest of the week? We are called to be people of prayer. We are called to be people of faith and trust in the work of God. I want to encourage each of you. This week, I do this a lot. And I only put you to the task for 1 week. And I'll say for the next year, I want you to do for 1 week. For 1 week, I want to encourage each of you to be praying just a bit more. I want you to be praying especially for those who are in war-torn countries. I want you to be praying for our government. I want you to be praying for the financial situation of this nation. I want you to be praying for the church. There's a whole lot of other things in here. Again, we can pray for the persecuted church. Try to remember them. Try to remember the persecuted church. I'm not even going to ask how many of you pray for them regularly. I hope a lot of you, but remember them. We are called by God. This is one of His commands, to be praying for those who are undergoing persecution. How easy it is for us to fall into the pattern of just praying for God, help me with this. God, do this for me. I need this. Instead of praying for people that God brings into our lives. Instead of praying for His church, and instead of praying for Him to come soon, let's pray. Father God, again, we thank You. We thank You today for the blessing You have given us in our Lord Jesus. Lord, we know we did not deserve to be saved one bit. Lord, even the best of us deserves eternal damnation outside of Christ. So, Lord, help us to be mindful of that. Help us be desiring to serve You, to be desiring to serve Your church and Your people. Help us to be wanting with great intensity to be able to go out and share the truth of Christ with others. To be bold in our speech. And Lord, help us to be ever at work in encouraging one another and building one another up, because we all need it at different times. Help us, Lord. Help us to trust You. We pray this again in Christ's name. Amen.